This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Start your engine.
Race fans, you are tuning into the only motorsports show in San Diego. Your host, Dave Stahl, and the racing school teacher, Brittany Sandoval, are taking you to the green flag, covering everything from your top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Strap in, it's Checkers and Wreckers on Racer Radio.
Folks, hey, welcome to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
This hour is brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale. If you have a business and you're in dire need of a cashier and you can't hang on to one long enough, you know, labor costs are getting kind of high, you might want to check out self-checkout. Walmart does it, Home Depot, Costco, they all do it. It might be the way to go. Give these guys a call at 800-540-2149. They'll come out to your business, take a look, and if their system fits your system, you're golden. They've got more than 100, over 150 years of total service experience within their team. Jeff and Mark have been doing this since the 70s. And the beauty is, if you're open, they're open. They'll give you a 7-day, 24-hour day service, no matter where they are, because they do travel a lot. I can attest to that. So, interested, 800-540-2149, and Dragonfly, which is a Napa Auto Care ASC certified shop. They just came on board. Welcome aboard. And I love Napa, and I love their auto care service. You get 3-year, 36,000-mile service, and you get you get it all. Napa Auto Care, AAA, ASC certified. So go to dragonflyauto.com, make an appointment. Tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ, and thank them for sponsoring. 619-704-2280. Boy, flash in the pan. I knew our special guest today back in the days of KUSI, and she showed me a bruise on her thigh that was the size of a football. You remember that?
I do.
Was that your first time you got knocked out, right?
Yeah, that was during
knocked out.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
She'll have to tell you.
All right.
So Brittany, I don't know how long you've known Desi.
35 minutes.
Okay.
Yep. I do enjoy what I've found out so far. She's a woman who loves moto and metal.
Yep. And well.
And dirt. Dirt. Yeah. Wait. What are you? Wait. Born dirty.
Yes.
That's what it is. Yes. Born dirty.
And did she tell you how that came about?
I might have done a little research. So what I gathered is you started going to the desert when you were 3 months old.
Yes. Okay. Yep. Yeah. She's been stalking.
She's a stalker.
I researched my guests a little bit.
Stalking research.
I love it. I'm so glad we finally got to sit down, because as I was telling you off air, at least once a week, my students see me wearing a sweatshirt or a hat that says "Girls Love Dirt."
Nice.
I love to play in the dirt as well.
Nice. Yeah, we've been talking about racing. She does dwarf cars, so that's cool. I got to go check that out now.
That's just what you need.
Before we get too far, for our listeners, we have Desiree Bates in-house, and we are also joined by... Oh, he's holding. Okay. Hi, Justin. And we have also Justin Garner, and he is not going to speak too much, but maybe we'll hear some of his titles. Crew member, fan.
Pit crew chief.
Pit crew chief. Yep. Barbecue
chief.
So just so you know, we have Desiree Bates in studio.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we got lots to talk about, too.
And I remember when, she's always been into motorcycles, but... And dirt, but I remember that when we were at KUSI, I think that's when you got your first dirt bike.
Yeah, probably. What? Sounds about right.
Yeah, and it was, she was so excited.
Can we get a date, like a year? What are we talking about?
Was that in the...
I was like, my Honda 450 was in 05.
Yeah,
so
I was going to say, it had to be in 05,
that area,
06, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first race she was going to do. Oh, my God. She was so excited. She couldn't even hardly see
straight. What kind? You've done a variety.
District 38 was where I started.
Okay.
And then I got the dirt bike and just immediately wanted to start racing, and went out to District 38. And
how'd that go for you?
I think that's when I knocked myself
out. Okay.
You know.
Yeah. Just full throttle?
Yeah. I don't remember the rest of the race, though. I just remember going over the handlebars, and next thing you know, I was in the Lazar trailer, and
okay.
They were cutting my gear off me, and no. I'm like, no, not the boots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then I remember asking if my bike was okay.
Oh,
that was like the first thing I cared about was, but how's the bike?
My first crash when I was 4 into a sandbox, same thing. I cried because I had bent my forks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very upset about that. Now, so was it full throttle that may have led to that knockout? And have we changed our ways?
No.
Okay.
I was going to say.
Just got better at them.
Okay.
You bounce better. Yeah. Now. So are you still doing 38 or what have you moved on to?
Yeah, intermittently I do District 38. I just finished an apprenticeship with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
And by the way, congratulations.
Thank you. Yep. So
that's been a long
5 years. So I've kind of just been racing on and off for 5 years.
So you're a journeyman now?
Journeyman wireman.
Congratulations. Yep.
So if I need my 110 plugged in, you can do it?
Yes.
I hate electricity.
I don't mind anymore. At first, I was like, I don't know about this, but, you know, because I thought I wanted to be a welder, and I was like, I don't know about this electrical stuff.
Because that's what I thought. What happened with the welding?
Oh, because your love for metal.
Yeah. I wanted to go the welding route, but my idea of going the welding route was I wanted to fabricate sand cars. And that was what I wanted to do. And a friend of mine just kind of like was trying to talk me out of it because I wanted to be union. I wanted to have a pension. I wanted to have, you know, a career, basically.
Sure.
And
sure.
No offense to fabricators by any means, because obviously that's the route I would like to go.
And they have none of the above.
But they don't have that in right. a mom and pop shop. There's no pension. They can't afford a pension. The wages probably aren't union mm-hmm. wages, you mm-hmm. know. And so, again, I'm not, you know, offending anybody, but... that's just why I chose the electrical route.
But you still weld.
Yes.
For fun.
Well, yes. Yeah, because you do ornamental now.
Yeah, I do metal art.
Right. Yep.
I do trophies for the San Diego Off-Road Coalition events. And
really
stuff.
Nice trophies.
Yeah, they turned out good.
Yeah, they did.
If I may say so myself.
I mean, I think so.
I think so, too. Otherwise, they wouldn't be using you every time.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Now they need it to be done. So, did you ever get into a cage?
Or no.
Are you staking on motorcycles?
Well, I have my sand rail. But I just haven't raced it.
Yeah.
I reached out. I was looking at Chenoweth. I was like, man, I have a Chenoweth. Maybe they'll
sponsor. Wasn't that your dad's?
Me. Yeah, my dad built it.
Yeah, I remember. Mm-hmm. See, you didn't think I remember that, did you?
No.
Yeah. I stay on top. I'm a stalker, too.
We're rebuilding it. Justin and I are putting a new transmission in it. So
All right. We're
going to, I'd like to race it, but it's just not a raceable car.
No. It's it'll break before it'll win.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well,
it's
it
proven.
Is. Yeah, and it's heavy.
No, it's proven itself to us when we went off a cliff with it.
A cliff?
You went off a cliff?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, so we did a...
a cliff? Who was behind the wheel? Who
Jeez,
was...
guess.
Oh, okay, Desiree was behind the wheel on that.
Yeah.
And were you the passenger, Justin?
Yeah.
On that particular...
Yeah, Father's Day 2 years ago, we were driving around Ocotillo Wells, and we encountered a washout that was pretty new.
It was a night race, or night ride.
It was about...
Oh, those are the worst.
Mm-hmm. It was about 18 foot deep, and we happened to be taking the widest turn and flew right into it. But
how fast?
We're going probably 30.
That's ugly.
She turned the wheel hard, so our momentum carried us left. So we didn't hit front end that hard, but it spun us around completely.
Luckily, we instead of indoing, going over, we spun more left.
Oh.
And so we were facing the direction in which we entered. So we had done a complete, you know, what
180 in the air.
Yeah, in the air. Once it nosedived, it spun all the way around.
And you just sort of said, what the hell?
Yeah, well, yeah, it happened so fast. I did not expect to be that high. I mean, to fly from that high. And then I got out and I looked up and the walls were like above the whip on the buggy. And I was like, oh my God. Like, thank goodness for 5-point harness seatbelts.
Yes.
Thank goodness for this roll cage protecting us right now.
Helmets?
You know, no helmets.
No helmets. Nope.
Yeah. Wow.
Did you have any trouble getting out?
Yeah. Well, luckily the buggy's so light that my friends were able to just pick up the front end, you know, move it around, and then we broke some sand rocks and they towed the buggy out. The only thing, I mean, we had a little bit of whiplash, bent tie rod, and you know, bent rims. And that's
wow.
it. That buggy survived.
So that's why.
That buggy impressed me with how well it saved us.
It's pretty safe.
Yeah.
Just can't go anywhere without crashing.
Yeah, I'm on the fence now whether I'm going to encourage her to get in the dwarf car or not.
Yeah, right.
I don't know because there's a solid wall.
She only knows one way, and that's flat out.
Yeah.
And whatever.
Well, in my defense, I don't have a windshield, you know, and so it was dusty. And then
it was nighttime.
And then I have incandescent bulbs from 19, you know, whenever the buggy was built.
1950.
So, yeah, I mean, the visibility wasn't the best.
So you could use a little update.
Yeah, and he bought me some new Baja Designs headlights since then that are period correct, and they look great. And so.
And they're bright.
They're bright, yeah.
It cracks me up. Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, a whole lot more right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. Go to ElCajonMotors.com. The 24s are in. He's got tons of Mavericks. He's got Broncos. He's got a couple of bad to the bone Raptors. Oh, yeah, and he's got regular cars, too. But if you're into that, go. Service department will work on everything in your driveway, which is kind of cool. Dave has got kind of re-geared the shop to where anybody that, you know, owns any other vehicle would like to, you know, bring theirs in. Like when they're picking up their Ford, they can drop off their Chevy or Toyota or Nissan and get quality service. That's El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better. All right, we got Desiree Bates in the house, and she's going to run the Mint 400.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that was one of my two things. Yeah. Now that we know she's fearless.
Yeah. Is this your first time at the Mint?
Yep.
Iron Man.
Yeah, Iron Manning it.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And so for folks that don't know what that means.
It means I'm doing it by myself. It's normally a team race. Mm-hmm. You swap off riders, but I'm doing it by myself.
And on top of that, there's not a women's Iron Man.
Yeah, you're just
division. Just Iron Man.
It's
you're
just Iron Man. Yeah.
How many other women will run it? You know?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I've never done it before.
She won't know till she beats them all.
Yeah,
what?
Right.
Have you done a history of it? I mean, to just see if any other women have ever run it? I'm sure they have.
I mean, I've not specifically seeked out how many women have done it because they can do it in a woman's class as a team. I don't know how many have done it as an Ironman.
Right. You got a sponsor?
Yeah. International
stand
Brotherhood
up.
Of
Wait,
Electrical
stand
Workers.
Up, Justin.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding.
So, yep, I'm very proud to be one of the first racers for our local. I'm sponsored by our local 569, IBEW. I'm sponsored by the women's organization within the IBEW called the United Sparkies.
I love it, yes.
And then I've got, you know, from my medal days, I've got American Laser Fab on board, competitive medals, the Iron Door, and Snap-on Tools.
Fantastic. Right? Who would have thought, huh?
Yeah.
Because I know you're not much of a salesman.
Come back from a five-year...
You're not much of a salesman.
No, I didn't expect to get anybody on board, really, but I just kind of took a shot in the dark because I knew the Mint was going to be expensive. I haven't raced really much in 5 years. I didn't really expect a lot of people to jump on board, but they all did.
Wow.
You know, they've been supporting me for a while now, you know, as far as just, you know, well, the metal... Competitive Medals and American Laser Fab and the Iron Door. They've been sponsoring me as far as the Dirt Rider Foundation and Fight for Ocotillo Wells. So when I reached out and told them this, that I'm going to be a tradeswoman racing for, you know, women in the trades, they jumped on board and were like, yes, we want to do this. So
that is
fantastic. That's pretty cool.
So the 400, let me guess, 400 miles.
Yeah.
Is it? I didn't. That's something I wanted to clarify. I didn't know if it was 400 miles for the cars and less for the motorcycles.
So from what I understand, it's going to be like a Grand Prix style where once the pros cross the finish line in, like, let's say I get one lap less than their, so my races would be shorter.
All right.
Based on the fact that they're faster.
Where does it? Where do you go? Where's the route?
Prim. It's based in Prim, Nevada.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So you're not going out into Mexico or the desert.
No. Mm-hmm.
And get lost.
Yeah.
Originally, wasn't it from the Mint Hotel in Vegas to some other, casino or something in Nevada? Or
I don't know. Like I said, this is my first
year. It was from
a
hotel to a hotel in Vegas to Lake Tahoe or something like that.
So is it a one-day race, two-day race?
One day.
Just one day. Mm-hmm. All right. So you get up early and go to bed and sleep for the rest.
Yeah. That'll be nice.
So what are you doing to get to prepare?
So racing, mountain bikes, running, CrossFit, all the above.
We were talking about how physical it is, and I brought up the fact when we had all the Barona ladies in, and we were talking to the rookie about it is physical. It's physical just to hold on.
Stay
and
on.
And you stand up a lot because your legs are your own suspension, so it's very physical.
And then my back is usually sore afterwards from holding on and, you know.
Constantly bouncing.
Mm-hmm. Do you wear a neck restraint or gear or protection at all? I kind of hear both sides of the story.
Yeah, and so I have one. I used to wear the Liat brace, but then I've heard that it's not effective anymore, so I really don't really wear it anymore. So I just don't. There's been so much back and forth about it that I quit wearing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think just conditioning is all it's about.
And what are you going to ride?
My Beta 300, two-stroke Beta.
Oh, wow.
Two-stroke. Yay.
Yeah, I know. What's his face? Ed's been talking about it. I guess it's a new bike, isn't it?
It's a 2017.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, yeah. So that should be fun.
And Justin, you're going to crew out there?
Yeah, I'm going to be running the pit crew out there. I don't exactly know what that's going to look like.
Whatever is needed.
All of them are about the same.
Yeah.
So when the word rookie comes out, it's to the truest form.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be first. I'm just reading through the tech inspections. I've had all show up. There's a parade.
Yeah, you're going to take part in that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Just to give my sponsors a shout out if possible,
exactly,
you know? So,
exactly.
So Wednesday we'll arrive and do the parade route down Fremont Street. Mm-hmm. Thursday is a tech inspection, so I have to, you know, it's been expensive in the sense that I have to go now buy a Snell approved helmet, you know. I got thankfully my sponsors afforded me the opportunity to get new tires were sent to me by Sean and Janine White from Snap-on Tools, and then IBEW and the United Sparkies, Competitive Metals, American Laser Fab, Snap-on, am I missing one? Iron Door. They all have afforded me the opportunity to pay for now getting air mousses in my tires so I don't get flat tires. You know, so there's just a lot of expenses that are now going along.
Up.
Yeah, I mean, I had a helmet, but I had to go buy a new one just because it's now Snell approved. So the Mint has a lot of requirements that go along.
What about boots? Did you get new boots?
No.
Theirs were good enough.
They're good enough.
And broken in.
You don't
want a new pair?
Right.
I'm still breaking in my new pair.
A lot to be said for that. What about your driving suit?
I don't have a suit. I mean, well, I bought a new set of gear for my sponsors to put my sponsors
on. Oh, okay.
But yeah, so I guess I got it for that, but they don't require that.
Do you rock a color?
It's going to be red, white, and blue.
Okay.
That's my, because it's all my sponsors are pretty much red, white, and blue. So.
What do you want to bet I know the number?
We'll say it. Wait.
569.
Oh, you changed it.
Yeah, I changed my number because I got sponsored.
Oh, yeah, we couldn't do the other one.
Well, I don't know if they would frown on it or not, but
Can we say what it is? I'm out of the loop and some listeners might be.
666.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've been racing that number for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I finally got sponsored by my local, so I asked them. They didn't say that they were against it or not. I just said in my proposal, I'll change my number to 569.
So, and does that have a significance?
The Mint, it's going to be 56 because they don't allow three digits.
Okay.
But for District 37, she is going to be racing 569.
Yeah, and that's the union, right?
Yeah, it's local 569. Yeah.
Right,
so how cool
on.
Is that? Who would have thought?
That's cool.
Way back when you and I first met, who in the world would you think you'd be sitting on a radio station talking about throwing your body out on the 400?
I know. I'm very excited, and I'm so thankful that these sponsors have afforded me the opportunity to, you know, do a bucket list race of my dreams, you know?
Are you picking the brain of anyone who's ridden it already?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, I have friends who have raced it, and so I've been asking them all sorts of questions.
Oh, I bet.
Because the information hasn't been readily available.
It's not like there's an owner's manual.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there a route that you know already, or do all riders find out the route the night before?
They do have a course map online.
Already?
But I don't know how technical the course is going to be. Is it going to be fast, or is it going to be, you know, fast and technical? That I don't know. I just know the route.
The weather has a lot to do with it, too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, what's an ideal temperature rain for you?
I mean, a little bit of rain the night before would be nice to keep the dust down.
Some traction up.
Otherwise, I don't really care if it's hot. I don't mind heat. Mm-hmm. Cold, I don't like. But I mean, if it's 70s, 80s, I'm okay with. 60s even, it's fine. But yeah, as long as it's sunny and not windy.
Yeah.
What do you carry on you?
Camel pack. The mint is requiring me to have like a medical pack.
In the event.
And then I have to have lights on. That's just what they require.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, just water typically.
And what about navigation?
There's no navigation. Not at these races. They have the course marked out.
The course is marked with little flags, pink little flags.
And you don't need to carry fuel?
No, because the laps should be short enough.
That's what Justin's for.
That's his job.
Do you get do you have radios that you can, so you can't communicate with the pits?
No, I guess I could. I have not gone that route yet.
Well, I'm just thinking if you have a mechanical and you're stuck out in the...
Someone will be around. There's probably a sweep crew.
Yes, there's a sweep crew, and usually there's some other racer that will let somebody know.
Yeah.
I don't know how competitive the mint is going to be that they wouldn't stop and at least say, you know, are you okay? Do you want me to at least tell your pit?
Right.
You know,
right.
So I would assume somebody.
Any tracking devices on your bike that you're aware of?
No, I think it's just a matter of, like, when you go through the pit, it tracks you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no, like, actual GPS for the entire course that I know of or that I've read about.
Well, because, you know, sometimes they'll put a transponder,
yeah,
you know, like, on your bike just so they can keep... Like, if you do it off-road, say the Rebel Rally, you know, you can watch online and
where
see
they're
where they're
at.
Yeah, see where they're at. Where are you going?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
No, not that sophisticated. No, it's just a matter of when you go through the checkpoint.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know you definitely want to win, but you really just want to participate and finish.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is, like I said, a bucket list race for me. Last year, a couple months ago, I did the 24 Hours of Glen Helen. And that was in preparation for this race. And so,
how'd you do there?
She did great.
Yeah. She
did a lot.
I got first place women's, but I was the only woman's team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not saying much, but I was just more proud of the fact that I rode 20 hours.
Yeah.
Of the 24 hours of Glen Helen.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, she did a lot.
That's
so it really prepared me for the mint, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, I would say
what
so,
what is the
too.
Estimated time for an average rider? Or what are you thinking as far as hours
to
out
finish
there?
The
for the mint?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the guys are saying 6 to 8 hours.
Oh, that's nothing for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people were saying that 24 was definitely more difficult than the mint would be. So
nice. Yeah. That's good.
Over the hurdle there.
Do you have something you fuel yourself with, like peanut butter and honey sandwiches or...
It's tough for me to eat before a race. I kind of don't eat. He forces me to eat.
Yes. Good job, Justin. And good luck.
Yeah. I just kind of get nervous a little bit. And then until that starting gate drops, I got a little nerves. If I can pit, then I can maybe get a snack. I don't know. It's going to be tough because I don't like to eat before races.
Yeah.
But you're going to need to.
I'm
going to
have
to. Stop.
And all I can do is fuel the night before, make sure I eat some complex carbs and stuff, and then try to eat as early as possible so that I can eat before the
nerves come.
And
drink a lot of water.
Yeah,
just because you don't know what the weather's going to be.
Camelback.
Like.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Scott Delosio. We don't know what the topic is, but I got a sneaky feeling he'll be full of all kinds of great information from Paris Auto Speedway, right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment's brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. If you've never been to Paris, it is absolutely amazing. Right up there on Lake Paris Road, 18700 in Paris, California. Half-mile dirt/clay track that'll give you the most excitement you could ever imagine. The racing was going to start this weekend. But unfortunately, the rains changed its mind. We got Scott Delosio on the line. You gonna do a makeup, or what's on the plan for missing Saturday?
No makeup. Just pick up the season. Ah. I'm now going to start on the 24th of the month with the USAC Series Sprint Cars headlining the show. Also, the Senior Sprints, the Gas Chassis Young Gun Sprints, and it'll be the opener for the Pass Car Super Stocks and Street Stocks. So we'll look forward to that. You know, hopefully we're going to have better weather. looking at the forecast starting next Saturday, it's like, oh boy, we could be in for a bevy of rain.
Well, the guys got started early. You know, they got started in February.
Yeah. And yeah.
You can't control the rain. I was thinking about you personally when it was still raining on Thursday and then again Friday. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys knew probably by Wednesday that it wasn't going to happen.
I think it was a foregone conclusion, you know, but Don and the track staff, I mean, they had their hopes up. And then when the rain came again on Thursday night, that just put it that put it to rest. If you're familiar with the racetrack, people are listening, the infield concession stand, the water had reached that and was actually all the way around to behind the building.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, pumps were going, but when it rained again Thursday, that just put the kibosh on it. Because I'm not sure how deep the water was. I think it was like 8 inches.
Well, have you noticed nobody saying how many inches of rain we're getting anymore?
Oh, I look it up every day. It's amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, I have a wheelbarrow. One of those plastic Rubbermaid ones, you know, and it filled it all the way to the top.
Yeah.
With the rain that we got, which is absolutely insane. But, I mean, it's not like we don't need it, but, I mean, I don't think we need, it's like drinking out of a fire hose.
Well, you know, it's like, I think going into that last storm down here, we were about 87% of the normal for this time of year.
Right.
Now it's like we're at 140% of the normal this time of year. For the yearly, which ends on June 30th, we're already over 100% of that after this last week.
Right. And your area compared to San Diego and your area, you guys got the brunt of it. L.A. and all the way through Paris, you guys seem to get the brunt of the storms.
It rained where I live. I'm about 36 miles east of L.A., 36 miles west of the track. And it started raining about 4 o'clock on Monday. I mean, good, steady rain. And it rained about 47 straight hours, you know, with about a one-hour break in there. It was crazy. I mean, my backyard was under 3 inches of water. My dogs weren't going within 3 feet of the back door.
I have to walk out into the rain with one of my dogs or he won't go out.
All three of mine aren't going.
Yeah.
And they don't go willingly even when you go out.
Yeah, right. They're going, wait, what are you, crazy? We're not going out there. No. Yeah, but so no damage to the track other than, you know, once the rain runs off, it's fine, but no damage?
Yeah, you know, it technically, and I wasn't there, I don't know how bad the half mile would have been, but Night of Destruction, three of the classes run in the infield, the two figure eight class and the mini stock road course.
Yeah.
You know, they run down there. So when they do that, and even, you know, if they got all the water pumped off, then you're dealing with how far down did the water go on the ground, because it's going to be really, really soft and mushy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the double whammy there. And those guys also pit out in the back pit area, which when that gets saturated, turns into a big mess too.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if it was something that was on the half mile, there may have been a better chance of getting it in. I mean, they probably couldn't have pitted down there still, but there's another place we've used on the fairgrounds before, like the World of Outlaws USAC National Cars, where they pitted out on pavement, had a longer push to get the cars onto the racetrack, but the track was fine.
But the rest of the facility, there was no damage, nothing to the stands, the restrooms.
I don't think so. You know, if there is, Don hasn't made me aware of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he would, because he knows you're calling in. So,
you know, he's not happy at all having to cancel a race, especially this early in the season.
Right.
So, you know, it's behind us. Nothing you can do. No use crying about it. Let's move on.
Yeah,
ready for 410 sprint cars.
So for the Night of Destruction enthusiasts, when's the next scheduled date?
It's just 3 weeks, March 9th.
Oh, well, that's not that far out.
Yeah, 3 weeks from Saturday. So they're going to be... they're going to run this. I think this is the most Night of Destructions we've ever run. It was slated to be 9 this year. Obviously, it's down to 8 now. So it's going to be once a month. They usually run, normally they run the first race of the month, and then the sprint car is going to be there every month as well.
Gotcha. All right. Well, then that works out fine.
I just keep hearing many nights of wonderful traction. I don't know. Desiree, when you hear about rain in the forecast, do you have dreams of perfect traction?
Oh, yeah. I think it's perfect when it gets a little bit of rain. Yeah.
We don't like things being rained out.
No.
But
a little bit
glass else. Half full is nights of lots of traction.
Right, right. Well, like I said,
traction equals speed.
Which
isn't the greatest thing for sprint cars if the track is real tacky because everybody's too fast. There's not a lot of passing with sprint cars.
That's good for the person out front.
You want to draw the pole or qualify the pole, you're great.
Yeah.
Traction's still fun. The best sprint car race to me, I don't want to see a Midwest Texas Dust Bowl. But a racetrack where there's a little bit of dust, usually with a sprint car means there's going to be three different groups on the track.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a lot more passing.
Well, I tell you what, I can't wait for the season to get started, and I'm sure you can't either.
Yeah, once again, it was disappointing. It was a hard decision that Don had to make.
Yeah.
But in the end, it ended up being the right one. I think most people got it. On top of the weather, when you're dealing with something like that, when it's been raining for days, some people may not show. It wasn't exactly balmy weather out either.
Right.
So the wet conditions, and the temperatures were supposed to be, by the end of the night, when we would have finished, like about 50 degrees. Same Michigan. A lot of people aren't willing to come out in that.
Yeah, no kidding. I was going to ask you about the Young Guns. How many cars have you got in the Young Gun series this year?
I have no idea. Young Guns, when we started, I think first year we averaged like 10, 11 cars and stayed up there. Then it dropped off to the point where 2 years ago there was basically one car.
Right.
And then last year, I think we had 8 different cars compete in that.
Mm-hmm.
They got a really good prize to shoot for this year, the Gas Chassis Young Gun Series.
Mm-hmm.
Champion's going to get a gas chassis, some extra components with Stan Sexton, who you had on the radio a few weeks ago.
Right.
So it's an incentive for them to get out there. Some also, they want to run CRA. I'm not so sure. I think it would do a lot of them good to do more polishing running with the Young Guns before they run with CRA. Because once you run a CRA race, you ain't running the Young Guns again.
Oh, it disqualifies you?
Yeah, we did it the first year. Well, the first race we ever did it was 2013. And we had the Young Guns, and if anybody, who ran CRA was young enough, which AJ Bender was.
Right.
And he made the rest of the field look like fools. So
true.
By the next week, Don just said, if you're running CRA, you're not running the Young Guns. And that's been a steadfast rule ever since.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a smart move.
Yeah, it is. And hopefully, I think some people need to look at the big picture. And before they go running CRA, if stay with the Young Guns. Get more laps for an extra amount of time. It gets you more lap time, more time on the track, more time to race competitively rather. And one of the reasons Don started the Young Guns, you'd have kids come out getting a 410 sprint car and racing in the USAC CRA series, and they're being fed to the lions.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Race with your own level, get competent there, and then jump up and be ready to race with those tougher guys.
Exactly. I totally agree. Yeah. Well, Don's definitely got his thumb on the pulse. I mean, he knows the right way and the wrong way.
Yeah, he does. But some people want to move up too fast, in my opinion. Still to this day, that happens. And people need to think about that.
What's Rayburn doing?
I don't know. I was wondering that the other day. I was going to ask somebody.
Yeah.
I've not heard from him or his dad. I know he's back out here in California.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought for sure. I haven't seen him on social media. I haven't seen anything on him. And his dad and him, his dad was just hardcore getting this kid out there. And great interview. God, he was a good interview.
Yeah, kid was a great talker
and a good driver too. I thought he had the skills.
Yeah, he took his time, got up there in the right time. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like his dad was kind of guiding him. Yeah, well, it'd be interesting. Well, if you do hear anything, you know, let us know, because you know he was on here quite a bit with us.
Yeah, he's a good kid, and hopefully we'll see him back in the spring. Hopefully this year. Yeah. I don't know. It'd be nice to have him back. Like you said, he's a great talker. He loved being around the fans and stuff, which most of the people do.
Sure. And he was good for his advertisers. Boy, I mean, he always never missed a beat, always never, you know, I can still hear him say inland rigging. If I've heard him say it once, I've heard him say it 1,000 times.
Yeah, there's a lot of people saying that now. I'm working on a press release right as we speak. Tommy's team, which, you know, we put a release out last week where Brody had stepped aside from that team.
Right.
Spend more time with his family.
Right.
And they do have two other drivers, and you can read about it hopefully later tonight or first thing tomorrow.
Oh, good.
One top-of-the-line driver for the 410 series and one top-of-the-line driver for the new series, and Tommy's going to run both of them.
Wow.
He won't run. I don't think he's going to run full-time with Tommy Dunkel, I'm referring to, the owner.
Right.
I don't think he's going to run full-time with CRA, but he's going to run a bunch of the races, and he'll run full-time with their new series. And the name slips me right now. They're going to run Ventura. Bakersfield, Kern County. It's a 360 series with restricted 410s. He's going to do that. Said he may, you know, bring out some USAC National Stars to run with the 410s when they have an opportunity. And, you know, he said, you know, hopefully Brody will make some cameo appearances in his cars as well in the future.
God, let's hope so. All right, buddy. Hey, thank you very much for taking time out of your Sunday. Now get back to work.
Yeah, back to work. What fun.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Paris Auto Speedway, folks. Mark it on your calendar. The schedule is at parisautospeedway.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with Desiree Bates and the Mint 400 on FM 9600 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, 11370 North Woodside Avenue in lovely Santee. They will take care of all your automotive needs. You got an in-house dyno, they can do it all. And Weather Machine, if you've got an air conditioner or heating in your home and you haven't had it, got its yearly service, give you guys a call, 619-443-9974. Take very, very good care of you. They're family-owned and operated. They've been buddies of mine for a long time. I use them. They've got I bought an AC from them. Couldn't ask for better service, and the new system they sold me has literally saved me a ton when it comes to heating and air. So Weather Machine, right there at 9303 Bond Avenue in El Cajon. 619-443-9974 or weathermachines.net.
So we've still got Born Dirty, Desiree Bates, in the house.
That's me.
Early March is the Mint 400.
Yeah, March 9th is my race day.
Around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
She's working out.
I know. When he was talking about 3 weeks away for the sprint car racing, I was like, oh, that's 3 weeks away.
Something not about racing, but we can certainly get back to it because this is Racer Radio. But if there was any woman considering getting into the trades, what kind of advice would you give? Where did you start? Like, you're like, I want to do this. Where did you start?
So, I mean, like I said, I wanted to be a welder. So I didn't really necessarily want to go the electrical route. It's just a friend was telling me that if I liked a challenge, that the electrical trade would be a great challenge. And so he's not wrong. I do enjoy it. It is challenging at times, but it's a challenge that's, you know, doable. I was afraid that being a female in the trade that I wouldn't be as strong as or as, you know, blah, 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 whatever. I didn't know that I would be able to get into it like a man would, you know. And so that was my fear. And since then, it's whatever. We do have to work harder, you know, like we have to work smarter, not harder, I guess I should say. So sometimes you can't lift things and you have to figure out an alternative way to do things. So you do have to be smarter about things. But it's definitely doable. I don't know why any woman would be intimidated by going into a trade.
Because you were intimidated.
And that's what I'm saying. Because I was intimidated, and now I'm saying that there's no need to
be. So you can be a spokesperson, because once you get to your journeyman wage, it's financially rewarding.
Yeah.
Where would one start? Let's give them a concrete.
So, I mean, as far as like getting the apprenticeship?
Yeah.
So you need to take a test. So you just call the hall. And you would have to take a math test and a reading aptitude test, basically, pass that test, and then you get an interview. So any experience in the trades would be helpful, but they're really encouraging women, obviously, right now to get in the trades. So it's really a plus for women right now to get in.
And I'm sure there's plenty of openings right now.
Yeah, I mean, the work is good. Work is good. So it's good for everybody, not just women. But
they are
encouraging women, you know, and have a lot of programs out there to encourage women. And that's, I mean, I'm racing on the pretenses of encouraging women because I believe that because I grew up off-roading, I have an aptitude towards tools. I have a mechanical aptitude. I have helped.
Always have.
Yeah, and I mean, I learned how to weld and stuff like that. So I feel like women who race have more aptitude towards tools, mechanical knowledge. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this really coincides with female racers of all types, you know?
And I think, you know, when you talk, and it's good that the unions are, you know, understanding that, and they need people just as bad as anybody else needs people.
Yeah.
And they have their training program within the union.
Yes.
Do you have to pay for that?
Nope.
So,
wow.
And then they also, then are you working while you're an apprentice?
Yep.
So you could go in, maybe just somebody carrying equipment around, you know, before you actually get it, and then you go through stages.
So here's what happened. I didn't get into the union when I first applied. They weren't as, you know, like, I mean, it was, work was a little different. I had to work hard to get in. And so I left my job at a radio station and made less money and doing a skill that I knew how to do as a tradesperson, and that was welding. So I went to an electrical shop and I offered my welding skills. I was like, I can weld, you know? And so I prefabbed their safety cages and stuff like that, or I fabbed their safety cages. And then they, because I worked for a union electrical shop, that helped me get into the apprenticeship. So I then had a skill set to bring, you know, into my apprenticeship.
Okay, I have to tell you a cute story. Mm-hmm. You'll love this. So I'm up at Hot Rods and Custom Stuff talking to Randy, and this kid comes rolling in. He's telling me this, and he just got out of welding school, and he wanted starting pay of $85 an hour. Mm. And Randy says, "Really?" He says, "Yeah." He says, I was top of my class, yada, yada, yada. I says, "Okay, let's go out back." So he goes out back, and he takes a piece of round stock and another piece of round stock. Mm-hmm. And he says, "Okay, weld it into a T." And the kid goes, "No, I can't do that. But I can weld a straight line real, real well."
Right.
So Randy says, "Well, you have a wonderful day." I mean, right?
$85 an hour.
Yeah. And like I knew of all people you would appreciate that story.
On another note, Dirt Rider Foundation, do you have an event coming up?
Yes. So I also am affiliated with San Diego Off-Road Coalition. I know Ed and Audrey have their radio show on here on Sundays. They have been, through the years, kind enough to take me under their wing. I started Fight for Ocotillo Wells, and so it's been under the umbrella of the San Diego Off-Road Coalition for several years, and now I'm proud to announce that it's its own nonprofit. So we are now called the Dirt Rider Foundation, and we are having our first desert cleanup March 23rd. So, yep.
Great.
After the Mint 400.
Yep. So yeah, we've got a busy March.
Yeah, you'll be soaking in a hot tub someplace, I'm sure.
Hopefully in Vegas.
Yeah, hopefully in Vegas. Yeah,
we
there
set that
you
up,
go.
Justin, in a hot tub on. After
there's
the
no hot tub in the suite.
Yeah,
you looked. You already looked.
Well, yeah. Some people believe in the cold bath. I've got a really good friend that starts her day like that. I was fishing out my doggie's ball today from the pool, and I thought she could just go there.
Yeah. Yeah,
so if you need to, you can dunk yourself in my backyard.
I'm not a fan of cold.
Yeah, me neither.
So
bucket list. Okay, you put the 400 under your belt.
Next.
Then what?
Yeah, good question.
You know.
Are you going to go to Mexico?
I want to, yeah. I mean, I think that would be the next step.
Well, let me give you a tip. You ever heard of the Nora?
Yeah. Yeah, you tried to get me to do that a while ago.
And I'm still trying. And the only reason I would tell you to try the Nora before you did, say, the Baja 500 or the 1000, it's on the east side of the peninsula, mm-hmm. and it's not hardcore, but it's still hardcore.
Yeah.
You start at 7 in the morning and you get done about 5 at night. And I guess the best way to explain it, Walker Evans said, yeah, it was the first time I actually got to see the scenery.
Oh, really?
You know, because normally when you're racing, you're not looking at the scenery.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying you might want to consider that one, you know, before you go into something else. Yes.
Are you done?
Sorry. Yeah.
I'm wondering, because I know I'm going to want to follow your experience of the Mint 400. Social media presence, how can listeners...
You can find me on Facebook and Instagram. I'm not the TikTok type, I don't really care about all that. So it's just Born Dirty MX. That's also my website, borndirtymx.com. I'm also selling 569 shirts shirts currently for to help out this whole year of racing, basically.
Oh, cool.
And to promote my sponsors again.
And they can get those shirts online?
borndirtymx.com.
Justin, can you make sure that she gives us an update on how the mint goes?
Definitely will be.
All right.
Because you're in charge of that now, too. Don't
well, I mean, you could. She's out for a while until she comes back.
So I know this is very short term, but Justin, do you have any desires to race?
Never.
Okay. Ew. You say that so matter of fact.
Yeah. Everybody does.
Did we fall off at one time when you were younger? Or is just something you just never were interested in?
No.
Like crewing?
I like crewing. I've mainly gone out to the desert to cruise.
Right.
And I've barely spent a couple of years on two wheels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've been on three wheelers for the majority. So
yeah, I've had those.
Switching to two wheels, it was a change up, but I've only been riding for a couple of years on two wheels.
So. All right. Very good. All right.
Well, I look forward to hearing about this adventure.
Thank you.
I want to follow along. If she's not telling us, Justin, it's going to follow
She'll
you.
She'll tell you.
She's going to be busy. She's going to be tired. She's going to be recovering. She's going to be getting ready for the cleanup.
I also post race recaps on borndirtymx.com so all my sponsors get their shout outs and they can follow along and see how my racing is going. And, they know that I'm out there actually doing it.
That's nice sitting down with you.
Thank you guys
Very
for having
nice.
Me on.
Justin,
nice.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And I'll keep you up to date because whatever we're doing, so I'd like to be able to get you and the union on local television so that they can, people can see. And, maybe we can, we just did a small show just on apprenticeship program.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get the union to come in for like an hour and talk. And
go apprenticeships.
Yeah, go.
Yes.
I think they're.
Absolutely. And I just really quick just want to say that the IBEW has been like instrumental in my racing this year. However, I'm just so proud that, other trades like, metal, welding trades have been behind me as well.
Great?
So I'm just encouraging, a trade,
Yeah, that's it.
Trades
in
general.
If you don't want to go to college, if you have no desire.
$100,000 student loan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the pay is good. And end up working at McDonald's and without using your college, try an apprenticeship program.
Totally.
All right. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.